Psalm 30. The message today is joy in the morning. I want to read several verses. Please follow the verses. First, Psalm 30. Verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's the message today. Joy in the morning. Now, Psalm 16. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall dwell in safety, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. Now, Isaiah 33. Verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. And 35. Verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And now, let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1. There was in a city a certain judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came oft unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge saith. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and yet he is long-suffering over them? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And now, John 17. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And now, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. In chapter 22, verse 1, And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that side was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou dost know that we are overwhelmed by the exceeding number of the verses that we have read that tell us the same thing. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Thou hast told us in numberless witnesses, and thou dost know how many more could be brought to our attention. We thank thee for them. And so we thank you, Father, for the truth of the message that we are to hear today, joy in the morning. We are thankful that that is the prospect of every child of God. And we pray that the truth shall rejoice our hearts. We know that there is another side also, and we pray also that if there are some here who are not children of God, they shall understand what you have written concerning them, and that they shall step from the darkness into the light, and then have all these exceeding great and precious promises to be theirs, and let them embrace them, and let them also be able to say, joy in the morning. So bless our message today, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The last thing I told you, as I finished my message last Lord's Day, was this. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I finished last week's message with those words, and I'm going to begin this week's message with those words and dwell on them for the entire hour. Things associated with them. But there was one verse that I did not read to you. I shall quote it to you, and I could quote it to you from either 2 Peter or the book of Jude. either one, it makes no difference. But this is what it says. Concerning certain individuals, like unto those that followed the way of Balaam and went in the way of Korah, rebelled, it says, for them, the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. Listen again. You who do not know Christ as Savior, God says, the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. And so there are two forevers. There is the forever of those that have trusted Christ as Savior, and there is the forever for those who have not trusted Christ as Savior. For us who are saved, joy in the morning. And for you who are lost, the blackness of darkness forever. And so one is as long as the other. And one is as opposite to the other as day and night, because that is how God began this creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And it was evening, and it was morning, one day. At one time, darkness. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he takes this portion and quotes it in 2 Corinthians, and he speaks of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it says that when Christ was transfigured, his face shined above the brightness of the sun. And God is still saying, let there be light. For all of you who will look into the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are darkness. And the Bible says that all of us at one time were darkness. You were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. And with light is associated joy and rejoicing and singing and happiness. And with darkness, there is the pain and the anguish and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And so there are two portions. There are two places prepared. The Savior said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And it says also in Matthew 25, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so there is a place prepared for all of you who want the light and will embrace the light. And there is a place prepared for you who will not have the light. You will join the devil and his angels. It was prepared for them. And so the choice is yours. You must understand what joy is, because it speaks of a frivolous joy. It speaks of a joy, the laughter of fools like thorns crackling in the flame, and that joy is gone. Only a short time does it linger. But the portion that I've read to you about joy in the morning, it's eternal joy. I read it to you in Isaiah, and I read it to you in the book of Revelation. And this is the portion that God has for us, eternal joy, a morning that shall never end. In the Bible, you have two mornings. You have a morning that David tells us about, and you have a morning that Ecclesiastes tells us about. Listen to Ecclesiastes' morning. He speaks of a time when the clouds return after the rain. what usually happens after a rain and a storm? You say, why, the clouds blow and then the sun comes out and shines. But it says there is a time when clouds return after the rain. A rain, a time of sorrow and weeping. And after that's gone, clouds return after the rain. But then it speaks in David's words about a morning without clouds. Not a cloud in the sky. Nothing but brightness and light and joy. And David speaks of that cloudless morning, and that is the portion of all who have trusted Christ as Savior. And so we have two things. We have light and we have darkness. And twice we are told in the Bible that the light has already begun to shine. John tells us this in his epistle. He says, the true light already shineth. Now, this is what we are told in the book of Proverbs. It says, the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And I have told you about the beginning of light. It says Christ has shined into our hearts. That's the beginning of light for us down here. That's when the light begins. But that is not the consummation of it, because it says the path of the righteous is as the dawning light. And in the morning there is darkness, but you see light in the east, and the sun gets higher and higher until it's overhead, and there is the perfect day. The world is filled with light. And it says, that is the path of the righteous. Brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But it says that there is a perfect day, and it says that joy is going to come in the morning. And so there is a night that we are still in, that we are going through down here. But it's a night like this. When Israel was in Egypt, there was darkness and nothing could be seen. But it says there was light in the dwellings of the people of God. And this world is filled with darkness, but there is light in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes in a world of darkness. And it says the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness overcomes it not. But God tells us that there is that perfect day coming. And the beginning of the light for us is when we trust Christ as Savior. And then it shines more and more because we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it says this, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. And that is when the perfect day arrives and the light shineth in its fullness. And it says concerning the holy city, no night there. And it could be no brighter, because the glory of God lightens the city, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the personal light. He is the lamp thereof. And so light is associated with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And darkness is associated with Satan and all of those that follow him. And if you trust in Christ as Savior, if you go to the place that he prepares, you are in a place where there is no night. And that is what I'm looking for. But it speaks about the path of the righteous is as the dawning day. And I wanted you to understand what perfect joy is. And it is given us in Psalm 16 and in Psalm 17. Listen to what David tells us in Psalm 16. And these words are taken up in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. David tells us, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so I told you there was going to be joy in the morning. But David says this, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And then he tells us this in Psalm 17. He speaks of the world and the things that they desire. But he says, "They are satisfied with children and leave all their inheritance to babes. But as for me, I shall be satisfied when I behold thy face. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. And we shall sleep the sleep of death. But when we awake, as Christ said concerning Lazarus, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go to awake him out of sleep. But when we wake, it shall be an awakening to the eternal light that God has told us about." And so this is the portion that can be all who will have the Lord Jesus as Savior. He said, "I am come a light into the world, that he who follows me should not walk in darkness." And he says this, "I am come a light into the world." And he says to those that are questioning him about who he is and what his mission is, he says, "Yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light." And that is what God wants you to have. He wants you to have the light of life, which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells you that ultimately you shall be in that new Jerusalem, the holy city, and all is light there. And there is no night there. But must we wait for fullness of joy until Christ comes back? Yes and no. For this reason, David says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And what God is telling us is this, that so often as we go through life, we're like Asaph. "Truly God is good unto Israel, even to such as are upright in heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped, because I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, because everything goes right for them and wrong for me." He said, "When I thought to figure this out, when I considered it," he said, "it was too painful for me, until I went into the tabernacle of the Lord and considered their latter end." And David says this in the psalm, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to inquire in his holy temple." And you realize this, that in prayer and communion with God, you can visit the Lord and you can get an anticipation of his presence now, as well as for certain in fullness in that coming day. And so most of us go through life like Asaph, outside the presence of God. But then until we go into the sanctuary of God, and when you're in the sanctuary of God, when you're in the presence of God, and consider the destiny of the lost that seem to have everything in this world, and the destiny of the saved who so often have few things in this world. He said, "When I considered their latter end," he said, "everything was resolved. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Now that is a heart that is in the sanctuary of God, and that is one to whom the Holy Spirit is ministering joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that can be our portion now. And so if you look at it chronologically, light begins when we trust Christ as Savior, but it says, the dawning light shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And as you grow in grace and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His knowledge, then the light is brighter. And then when you go into the presence of God, it is as bright as it can become on earth. And then there will be that perfect day. If you read in the Old Testament in Exodus, you will find that Moses went into the presence of God. And it said that when he came out from the presence of God, his face was shining. And this is what it says concerning us. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And so the dawning light, it shines brighter and brighter. And the way that we enjoy the light and our anticipation of heaven is when we commune with God, when we go into His presence, then there is fullness of joy. That is why the Apostle Paul, anticipating that fullness of joy in the age to come, he said, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. How could that be? Death? Death is departing to be with Christ, which is far better. And so now, there is the earnest, there is the down payment of the good things that God has given us. And it is a participation, and we may enjoy it now, in the fullness of the things that God is going to give us. Because everything is going to be changed. Think of everything that grieves you, that causes tears now. It says that all of those things are gone. He said, the first things are no more. And I've wondered about this, because I've seen God's creation, even in its fallen condition, and you have to acknowledge the glory of God. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And I've looked up in heaven and seen His glory. And I've looked over the earth, and I have seen His glory. But God says, I create new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You say, how can He do that? You ask that question of the one who created the universe in the first place, how He can create new heavens and new earth, the same way that He created the first heavens and the first earth. And it says concerning this new creation, things are so different. Do you understand that the sea occupies most of this earth? But when John saw the new heavens and the new earth, he said, I saw no sea there. And I have seen every day of my life light and darkness. Light at the dawning of the day and darkness as the sun went down. But it says, in that new coming day, there shall be no night there. And I'm thinking this, the Lord, when I go into your presence, you know that it is with fear and trembling, and thou dost know that unless I think about being cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, I do not enjoy your presence. And when there is unconfessed sin in your life, there is no joy in the presence of God. Because those that are nearest to God were afraid of His presence. What happened when sin came into the lives of our first parents? They went and hid behind the trees in the garden. Why? Because they were afraid of the presence of God. And then God drove them out of His presence. And that is why man since that time has been afraid. Man has shunned the presence of God for this reason. There is sin in his life. People are talking about the first pope, Peter. Do you know what the first pope said when he was in the presence of Christ? our Savior performed a miracle. And Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What about Isaiah, who wrote the greatest book in the Old Testament concerning prophecies and Christ and messianic portions? He said, "I saw the Lord high and sitting upon a throne." And he said, "When I saw him, I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts.'" And he was afraid. And what happens is this, that all of us are afraid of the presence of God until we trust Christ as Savior. But I promise you this, that in that coming day, you will have a body that is suited for the eternal day, and you will have a spirit and a nature that is suited for that eternal day. And there will be no more temptations, and there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, and death shall be no more, and tears shall be no more. Everything now that grieves and brings the heart of man down and makes it heavy, all of those things are gone. And the Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so God has promised us that. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. And the promise of God is this, the blackness of darkness forever for you who reject Christ as Savior. And again, I end this message today with the verse concerning the night. It says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy in the morning. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know how often we have experienced night and sadness and tears. And our Father, thou dost know that we fear as we think of the blackness of darkness forever for some who will not have your light. But thou dost know that our hearts take courage, our God, as we think of that eternal day that's coming for those who trust Christ as Savior. And you've told us that weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And your Son has said, "And shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? Yea, he will avenge them speedily." And that is what we desire, for you to come, Lord Jesus, and right all the wrongs and all the things that are sinful and contrary to your mind, our God, that they shall come and they shall be righted by thy Son. And thou dost know that we are waiting for him. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our prayer this day is, "Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen." The meeting is over.